Welcome back. Todd Zwillick in for John Hockenberry today. Life is stark for many of the people of the Ojibwe tribe in the small village of Pine Point in northern Minnesota. Many are trapped in cycles of trauma and neglect. Violent drug culture and gang life are rampant. There appears to be few ways to make it out in search of a better life. A new documentary film takes an intimate, honest, and difficult look at life in Pine Point. It's called The Seventh Fire, and in it, Native American filmmaker Chris Iyer teams up with director Jack Riccobono to go inside the lives of addicts and gangsters and their families in Pine Point. They spent 3 years on the White Earth Reservation following a man called Rob Brown. He's a larger-than-life gang leader struggling with addiction and with his own choices as he heads to prison for the fifth time. In the film, we also meet Kevin. He's a smart and charismatic 17-year-old kid about to make a choice between getting out or pursuing his dream of becoming the most powerful drug dealer on the reservation. Riccobono says that to the outside world, Rob might get branded as an ex-con, but he's a complex individual.
He's very creative. He's a self-taught writer who got into creative writing when he was imprisoned. It was really, you know, meeting Rob that really began the journey of telling this story and looking at the influence of gang culture on remote Native communities, which was something that, you know, we had set out to examine. But it was really through Rob's story, I think, that we were able to kind of see the complicated nature of that.
You're with them when they're doing drugs and selling drugs, illegal activity, in the room with Rob while he's talking to his lawyer. That's privileged. The camera's there the whole time, and it made me just wonder how that access developed. Where did that come from?
Well, you know, Rob was really a collaborator in the making of the film, and I think that he really understood what we were trying to do with the film, and he was able to bring us in places that we wouldn't have been able to go on our own. So, you know, there was that, and we also gave cameras to Rob and Kevin, our younger subject, so that they could shoot certain things, you know, that we wouldn't be able to shoot on our own, and that they would have the experience of also being behind the camera.
Chris Iyer, you've been involved in a lot of other projects involving Native Americans, Native American culture. You directed 3 episodes of American Experience on PBS, which is something that a lot of people will have seen. And this is a much sort of darker, closer, more difficult look at Native American life. And I wonder why you got involved here and what you wanted to bring out.
Well, I got involved when Jack reached out to me with an early sample of the footage, and the thing that struck me was Rob Brown, like Jack just said, and the access that they had. You know, as a Native person, I keep a pulse on what's going on, but to see what Jack was able to show with his camera and the access that Rob was able to give really enlightened me towards what's going on. And from there, you know, I lived in the Northern Plains in South Dakota and understand some of the issues going on with the North Dakota pipeline and incarceration. And I thought, you know, as difficult as it is to sometimes see and process, you know, politically and socially, it doesn't mean that it shouldn't exist for people to understand.
So, Jack, there's a moment in this film where Kevin, who's about 17, he's a younger guy, kind of under Rob's wing, kind of doing some low-level drug dealing, hanging out with his friends. He says,
I still have the idea of being a big drug dealer. Like, it's still in my mind today. I still want to be one, yeah, but also want to get a job and try to do somewhat the right way so I could get started on something.
And you can see him just standing at this choice point right in the middle of the film.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, part of what drew us to Kevin. You know, we met him about a year into filming when he literally just walked into frame one day. And through Kevin's eyes, you know, you see Rob in a whole different way, because you see how Rob is this larger than life figure who's having this major impact on Kevin. And Kevin, as a 17-year-old, is at a very different point in this cycle. You know, he's never been to state prison. He's been in juvenile detention, but he's at this major crossroads in his life where he can still choose, you know, sort of which way to go. Because, you know, once you have that criminal conviction, it becomes very difficult to get employment, and you also get pulled into the gang culture within the prison system. And I think, you know, seeing their 2 stories together allows you to enter into these issues in a different kind of way.
Chris Iyer, we've talked about sort of the closeness and a lot of the difficulty, sort of the abjectness that's in this film. But then the film is over. I have to say, not a lot of it is uplifting. There's no gratuitous hope, which is kind of nice. But what do you want the result of this film to be in the world?
Well, I think the result of this film is that there's a resiliency in Rob. There's an optimism in Rob's writing. There's a pathway for him to get out of his situation.
I was a very bad example. I was a part of what's going on out there. I want this cycle to end.
And I think that that's really what the hope is for me, which is that people see this movie and they look at themselves, Native people also, and say, okay, there's a way to improve your situation. I mean, Rob was in 39 foster care homes, and I have no idea what that does, you know, to somebody. I was part of the adoption system in my early years, so I empathize with Rob deeply. There's statistics that say that Native people are disproportionately incarcerated to longer sentences in states near and on reservations. And so, you know, we have to look at this problem and say, okay, there's something happening here. And the front line is not where the war is always waged. It's sometimes in the judicial system, and Rob was and has been a part of that.
So Rob has come out, clearly. He had a 57-month stretch, as you said, in your film. Where's Kevin now? How's he doing? What's he up to?
Kevin is, you know, still kind of at a crossroads. He did get a job and was working full-time at a fast food restaurant for several months. And during that period was when he sort of reached out and came with us to the White House. And that was his first time on an airplane and the first time out of the state of Minnesota. And so I think that had a big impact on him. And he was able to meet the Native activist, Albino Garcia, who appears at the end of the film trying to reach Kevin and bring him to this institute in New Mexico that tries to reconnect troubled Native youth with their culture. And so that's still an open invitation for Kevin to go down there and pursue that, you know, if and when he's ready to take that step.
The positive outcome of this film is that Rob and Kevin have both found their voices in part, if that's what we do. I've seen Rob travel around the country and inspire people just with his story, and I think that he's really found his voice through this film, and it's a pleasure to see.
Chris Iyer is executive producer of the new documentary, The Seventh Fire. It's streaming now on iTunes and Amazon. Jack Riccobono is director of The Seventh Fire. It's a film very much worth watching. Thank you both for joining me.
Thanks, Todd.
Thanks for having us.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.